For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reif. Cannabis farmers in the North State are heading into the next phase of the legalization process after many of them were hit hard by October's fires. In November, I went for a walk with local grower Susan Schindler on her farm in Potter Valley at the end of Van Arsdale Road. We had a wide-ranging conversation about her recent experience with the fire and her expectations for the future of legalized pot. Schindler estimated she lost about 60% of her CBD garden, where she grew a variety of valuable genetic strains.
So in this garden, we had six different CBD strains. We started them all from seeds, and then we had CBD genetics from the father of CBD genetics in the Emerald Triangle, from a man named Lawrence Ringo, who passed away several years ago. So we had Ringo's Gift here, and we had a Harlesu and a Sour Tsunami. Yeah.
It had rained earlier that morning, and workers were taking down the dead plants, which had been dried out by the wind and then withered from lack of water. Schindler's in the process of getting a permit, though she was not allowed back in to care for her plants. First, we swung by a new building, which Schindler said cost about $200,000 to build up to code for cannabis processing.
So that's the new cannabis. 3,200 square feet of steel building.
So is it being grown inside that building?
No, we won't ever grow indoors. Basically, it's processing, and it will help us pass labs, because pretty soon we are going to have to almost be food grade. Our trimmers will have little nets on, like they're in the cafeteria. It's a different world. Better for the patient, tougher for the farmer.
In the garden of about 17 ruined plants, Schindler told me about the research she's interested in, including several strains of CBD and a variant strain of THC, which she believes has shown some promise in treating patients with Parkinson's.
And I'm looking around at the plants here, and I'm seeing one in front of me that looks like nothing was harvested. One or two of them look like they were harvested. So was anything salvageable from this garden?
That exists here right now? No. No, I mean, what are you going to do with this?
Right.
But still smells good.
Yeah.
So you can see here, you know.
So these over here on this end are,
these are all
pretty crispy
therapies, aren't they?
From the fire.
Yeah, this is all fire damage. Well, it's not really fire damage. What it is it's not being allowed to get in and water. It's just these plants were dried out for 8 days.
To veer off the topic of the direct destruction, what's been your investment in getting as far as you've gotten in the permit process so far?
That's a really good question, Sarah. And, you know, when I came back on the property after the fire, the first thing I did was just start adding up what I spent on nutrients. You know, it's like hundreds of, you know, paper receipts from Friedman's and Hydro Pacific and whatever. And after I got to 30 grand, I couldn't do it anymore. I have not looked at the combination of all the fees, all the consultants, all the expense of needing to expand because we have to survive. But let's just say that the building alone is a couple hundred thousand.
As we left the garden to tour another part of the property, I tried to contextualize the disaster. It was kind of a leisurely walk in a beautiful, slightly overcast day.
How is this fire affecting your perspective on the historical moment that cannabis farmers are in right now?
Well, it certainly hasn't made anything easy, has it? You know, I had a fire in a business that I owned in San Francisco for years called Brainwash. And so fire isn't something that happens to other people. Once you've had it happen to you once, you realize, wow, my house could burn down, you know?
Yeah.
Number one, how many of these smaller farmers who have been wiped out completely by this fire, and I'd say I'm probably wiped out 60%, are they going to even bother to go back into it? Is this going to shift again the number of people that just decide, heck, I'm throwing up my arms, I'm going to go work at In-N-Out Burger? I mean, you know, I don't know.
Right.
You know, I mean, if this whole thing had burned down, if we had burned, I think it would have been the end for me. I never really thought about it, Sarah, but I can't imagine having the strength or the money or the desire to fight with insurance companies ad infinitum. And I'm talking about my house, you know, my crops aren't insured. It's just been too long a struggle, too many years.
Right. And one of the reasons that you and I are talking right now for a radio show is that you have been very public about being a cannabis farmer and trying to have some effect on the ordinance and the permitting process. And one of the big things that I've been wondering as this whole process with the ordinance in Mendocino County has been going on is why do people try so hard to get legal? What benefit are you hoping to achieve from that?
Feeling safe. Not having to worry about the next helicopter or the next time that somebody decides they want to chop down my genetics.
For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reif. We'll continue our walk along the Eel River in the second half, where we hear from CAL FIRE and look forward to morels.